Anyway, so the Beatitudes. So this is our, say, last series of, I suppose, this academic year. We've kind of done an academic year of teaching, haven't we? And again, really excited about this one. And the theologian N.T. Wright says, when God wants to sort out the world, as the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount make clear, he doesn't send in the tanks. He sends in the meek, the broken, the justice-hungry, the peacemakers, the pure-hearted, and so on. And as I said, we're going to be looking at the Beatitudes one by one over the course of however long it is between now and the end of August, as spoken in Matthew 5. And they are the most kind of one of the most prevalent pieces of scripture that form part of the Sermon on the Mount. And actually, there's quite a lot being written and talked about in terms of the Sermon on the Mount. And one of my favourite authors is releasing a book, actually, that is about the whole of the sermon. So that's really interesting at the moment. So what we're going to do is we're going to explore how Jesus provides us with instructions for living in the kingdom of God and how relevant these are today as they were 2,000 years ago, and how we can live beautifully in what is just a really desperate world at the moment. So another quote, this is a chap called Ronnie McBrayer. He says, the Beatitudes are not a spiritual to-do list to be attempted by eager rule-keeping disciples. It is a spiritual done list of the qualities God brings to bear in the people who follow Jesus. So it's not a list you can work through and do tick off, I'm a peacemaker, done it, tick. It is done, and we need to look at it in that statement. So we've got a set of eight statements we're going to work through in Matthew 5. And again, each of those statements, as you know, will contain a blessing for a particular group of people. And they say, if you don't know where it is, it's in Matthew 5, 3, and verses 5, 5 to 10. And whilst there's eight statements, you can go, oh, there's a ninth, isn't there? And I had to go, oh, do we do a ninth? But actually, that ninth one is just an extension of the eighth. And actually, what is going to be really exciting for us is Anosh is going to be preaching on that last one in August. So we're really excited to have that. We can also find four of the statements in Luke, verse 6 and 22 onwards. So again, if you're wanting to do a bit of study around this, be looking at those scriptures. And just a bit of a background on the word. So the word beatitude comes from the Latin beatus, meaning happy or fortunate. The current beatitude definition has been applied in English since the 15th century and has long been associated with these statements of Jesus. And they are important because they can also be interpreted from non-religious standpoints. For example, Gandhi, who read the entire Bible but was not a Christian, said he was moved by the content contained within the Beatitudes. So they are really, really important to us. And they're really important because they are directly attributed to Jesus, which gives them the spiritual weight. But secondly, they provide us an insight of how we as followers of Jesus are meant to act and what we can expect in the life to come. And he uses these Beatitudes to speak to a variety of listeners to communicate several messages about the kingdom of heaven. So he'll make pronouncement about the kingdom of Israel as a whole, but at the same time he's giving instruction about the nature of kingdom life for us as his individual followers. So we can see that there's explicit pronouncement of invitation to those who seemingly are unworthy of the kingdom. These things are an invitation into what Jesus wants us to be. For example, in the first Beatitude, which Richard's going to be speaking about, he says the kingdom belongs to those who see themselves as having no spiritual resources worthy of the kingdom. But then he pronounces some condemnation on the religious elite who are full of pride in their religious accomplishments. So there's this sort of tension. So some Christians have argued that the Beatitudes are more significant in Christian theology than the Ten Commandments. Again, it's good to look in and around these things, read into this. And again, the view is that while the Ten Commandments are prohibitions requiring external actions and were recorded on tablets of stone, the Beatitudes can be viewed as invitations focusing on our internal attitudes that are recorded on our hearts. The Beatitudes stress what to be, whereas the Ten Commandments kind of warn us what not to do. So just be thinking about these things, pray into them. What is God speaking to you about the Beatitudes? So I'm just going to read them out, just so we know where we are. And again, I'd encourage you to read different versions over this time. I flip between the ESV, the Passion Translation, and the Message. Again, it just gives you a bit of a flavour when we're looking in and around these things. So this is what we're talking about when we're talking about the Beatitudes. And I'll read from the ESV. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Amen. Okay, so that's just a bit of an opening there. If anyone wants that, I'm happy to send it on email as a bit of a summary to get you going. But what we're going to do now, if the band would come up, we're going to worship.